go over some of the stuff that we've had before. See if we can get a little bit more juice out of it, right? Squeeze that orange a little bit harder, you know? So, gonna look today at Acts 17. And Acts 17, at the beginning of it, Paul is in Thessalonica. He and Silas go to the council. Well, he and Barnabas went to the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, had a big council. And then when they came back to Antioch, they decided to go back and visit some of the cities they'd been in before. And Paul and Barnabas had a little disagreement as to whether to take John Mark with them. So Barnabas went with Mark and went to one place, and Paul took Silas with him and went another place. And they went through Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, went to Thessalonica, and this is where we find them now. Because as they were going through Lystra and Derbe, they were moving on through Pergia and the province of Asia there. And they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of God, it says, prevented them from going there. Okay? So it's like, what do we do now, you know? And then he saw in a vision, in a dream, Paul saw a man in Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. So Paul headed out, and he went through some places there in Macedonia. And actually, you know, he went to Philippi, and he went to Thessalonica and Derbe and Berea. And it's really interesting because the letters to Philippi and the letter to Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians, are the nicest letters that Paul ever wrote. They're just, you know, he's not getting on anybody. He's just encouraging them, and he's thankful to the Philippians for helping him and all this. So it was really good that he went to Philippi and he went to Thessalonica. And then Berea, you read about Berea, and what do you remember about Bereans? You remember we tell our kids, be a Berean?
Yeah, Bereans.
Yeah, in Berea, Paul talked to them from the scriptures and started telling them about Jesus. And it said the Bereans were noble, said they searched the scriptures to see if the things that he said were true. Mm-hmm. Boy, if we could get people to do that today, we'd be great, wouldn't we? If we could just get people to search the scriptures, and see if these things are true. So anyway, so he comes to Thessalonica in verse 1, and he spends some time with them, and quite a few of them, all right? Believed, but of course the Jews got envious, like always. Same old story, right? Just over and over again. And so they had to run out of town. They had to leave town. And so I went down to Berea, and everything was fine in Berea until the Jews from Thessalonica heard about it. Then they came. Same old story. Same thing as the first trip, right? The Jews found out about, hey, we're going to go mess him up. All right. So verse 13 says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So Paul had to leave there. It says, and then immediately, this is in verse 14, this is Acts 17, 14. It says, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Okay, so in other words, he left Silas and Timothy behind in Berea, and Paul left. And the brothers took him down to this all the way, it says in verse 15, and conducted Paul and brought him unto Athens. Okay, now we're all familiar with Athens, all right, in Greece. Now he's left Macedonia, he's in Greece now. Macedonia was kind of what we call northern Greece now, okay? But now he's down in southern Greece, if you will. So he's in Greece now, what they call Greece. He's in Athens and receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy for them to come with all speed the brothers took him there, went back to give that, Silas and Timothy his message. It says in 16, it says, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, and I'm going to switch over, instead of reading King James Version, I'm going to read the ESV version. I got it right here. It's very similar. By the way, I switch around translations a lot. The one I use the most is the King James Version. I don't like it, but I use it. it is easiest to get back to the original Greek with the King James. So it says, while Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy to get to him, all right, they were in Berea. He had already come down to Athens. He was waiting for Paul and Timothy to come. He was there in Athens. His spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. Now, when that word provoked, it means irritated, exasperated, all right? It was stimulated. It was some translations say angry, you know. He saw all the idols around, and the city was just full of idols. Everywhere he looked, it's full of idols. And he was disturbed. He was disturbed everywhere he looked. And this reminded me of Lot. In 2 Peter it says, and Lot looked around him, and his soul was vexed by all the wickedness he saw going on. Did you know Lot never had a breakfast club?
Sure did.
Because they couldn't find 10 righteous men to have a breakfast club.
Church or nothing.
Who was the only one saved in Sodom? Lot. Lot and his two daughters. That was it. His wife didn't even make it. You know, she turned around and looked back, turned in a pillar of salt. I mean, he couldn't sit around and have fellowship with other Christians, with other righteous people. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, that was tough. That was tough.
He's still called righteous.
I'm sorry?
His daughters. Look what he did with his daughters. He's still called righteous. Well, yeah,
you see, his daughters weren't that righteous either, were they?
But he wasn't innocent.
Yeah, he drank a little bit too much. So, but, Paul looks around, he sees the city full of idols, he's waiting for Silas and Timothy to come, and he's going, I'm pretty vexed too. I kind of know what Lot felt like, because everybody around me is into these idols. So this stimulated him, right? You know, he looked at the culture. He saw what was going on. He didn't like it. You know, we have a lot of people today, they hear the news reports. Mm-hmm. They hear what's going on.
Right.
They don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come and tell you about it. Did you know this happened? Let me tell you about this, what happened. It's horrible. It's horrible, you know. And they're right. It is horrible. It is right. They're right. So let's see what Paul did. Okay? The King James says, therefore, all right, or so, because he was so upset about all the idols he saw, he reasoned. It says he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. So he didn't just go around talking about how bad it was. He started doing something about it. He says, I'm going to get out and evangelize these folks. They need God. They need a knowledge of God. They need God. So he says, I'm going to talk to whoever happens to be in the marketplace. He went to where the people were, right? He didn't set up shop and say, come to my church. Church of one person. He went to the synagogues, but then there were six other days. And so he went out to the marketplace. He went where the people were, right? So now who happened to be there? Well, it turns out, and this is going to sound like the Pharisees and Sadducees, but it's not. Let me assure you. It turns out some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, they also came and taught with him. Now, if you know anything about Greek, you know, stuff, and I don't know that much about it, okay? The Epicureans were on one end of the spectrum and Stoics were on the other end of the spectrum, okay? Kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, just, you know, they were always banging into each other, you know? But they heard him. They heard Paul talk and they said, what does this babbler wish to say? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We don't understand what he's saying. I don't think he knows what he's saying. They thought Paul was just going crazy, you know, just... But others said, you know, he seems to be a preacher of foreign gods. He seems to be talking about foreign gods. I don't know, what, you know, what's he doing, you know? Because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the resurrection. Whoa, that's a big one. That's a big one. So these Stoics and the Epicurean scholars, they brought him up to the Areopagus, which... is Mars Hill, okay? Ares was what the Greeks called the god of war. When the Romans came in, they adopted the Greek gods and they called them Mars, okay? So they took him up to Mars Hill, all right? Now this is kind of an interesting place for them to take Paul. They took him up there and said, now, tell us what's going on. May we know this new teaching that you are presenting. In verse 19, he says, they want to know what Paul's talking about. They bring him up to Mars Hill. Now, why would they bring him up to Mars Hill? Well, that's where all these great philosophers of Greece were. They got up there and they argued and debated all day long. Okay? And so they brought him up there for him to do it. Now, isn't that an appropriate place for these men to get together? Because remember, Mars was the god of war. So they went to the top of the god of war. You know, we're going to be here and we're going to have an argument. Okay? We're going to have a little war of words, if you will. So they said, Paul, he said, you know, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting, verse 19. Verse 20, it says, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Nothing but hearing and telling of something new. Oh, man. We don't have that today, do we?
That's about the news.
I don't know about y'all, but you know, I've lived a long time in this city, all right? And I would go to a conference every now and then. And every time I go to a conference, I see the same people. Okay? They keep showing up at all these conferences I went to. I thought, my goodness, you know, these folks must really be after the Lord, you know? And come find out, that's what they did. They were going to hear something new. What's the latest teaching? What church has got the latest truth? Let's go hopping from this church to that church to this church to that church. And let's hear something new. Because I've heard what this church says. And I don't want to hear what this church says. Well, this pastor says this. I want to go hear what he says. Hey, have you heard what's going on with this church over here? Oh, no, I haven't. Oh, come on, let's go over there. You know. And it got to be, so I said, you know, I hope I'm not one of those. You know, I was going to all these conferences. Maybe I better stop going to these conferences. But they do. They hop, you know. And nowadays, of course, they don't have to do that. They just turn the channel on the TV. You know, they just turn the channel. You know, I can hop from this preacher to that preacher. You know, oh, you ought to hear this guy. He's really good. Where is he? Oh, wait, I turn on that. You know, and you know, we just hear all these. They just want to hear something new, right? What's the latest thing that God's doing? What's the latest thing? What's the latest teaching, right? And God showed me a few years ago, he said, you know, I'm just going to give you foundations, Ray. I'm not going to give you anything new. I'm going to give you foundational stuff. Study this foundational stuff because this is what people need. And we're not even doing that. Why don't we should go after something new? I don't know. But, you know. So anyway, let's go on. So Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Now, the King James Version says superstitious, okay? But it can also mean religious, all right? So he says, And it's superstitious, actually, today, that has a bad connotation, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not giving them a bad connotation. He says, you're very religious. Oh, you worship a lot. You're really big on gods, okay? You're very religious. So anyway, he's kind of, you know, wow, I'm recognizing this. And he goes on, he says, for I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the very thing that was upsetting him, right? All these idols that he saw.
Yeah.
Oh, we got an idol over here to Athena, and one to Diana, and one to Hera, one to Zeus, and one to Jupiter, and one to Mars. And one, I mean, just on Mercury and all these things. You know, it just had an idol for everybody, you know. So he says, in verse, let's see, where are we? It's 23. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. I wonder what it looked like. You know, because they had images for all these others, but, you know, they had just an inscription here. Nothing there. So it says, to the unknown God. Now Paul says, what therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you. I'm going to teach you about this God that you claim to worship, but you don't even know about. I'm here to teach you about him. Well, that's a cool way to get started, isn't it? You want to know something new? You guys get together and all you want to do is hear something new? Something different? Got something for you guys. Yeah. That's what they live for, right? It says that they live for hearing something new. So he says, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to tell you about somebody you don't even know about. So man, does he have their attention, David?
No.
He has their attention, right? So okay. Verse 24, he says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Mm-hmm. He starts where? At the very beginning, at creation. Mm-hmm. Genesis 1. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is where you have to start with some folks, right? Mm-hmm. Start at Genesis 1. I'm getting getting a glare off the clock there. I got to watch my time. So he said, you know, he says, I'm going to start with the beginning. God made everything and everything in it. God made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of everything. And he doesn't live in a temple made by man. He is way over everything. All right? Verse 25, he says, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. See, he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So what is he telling now about God? What is he told about God?
He's a provision provider.
He provides. Yeah. He doesn't need you to provide for him.
That's right.
Because he provides for you.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you everything you need.
Right.
Life, breath, he gives you everything you need. So what can you give him? He says, you can't provide for him, right? Mm-hmm. He says, he gives you everything. Well, that's new. That's different. Well, that'll prick their ears up, won't it? Yeah, whoa. Yeah.
That got their attention. Yeah.
Okay. He's also kind of attacking all their religion, too, but we won't get him. So he goes on, he says in verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places. Okay? So here, God made man. He made all the nations. Mm-hmm. He knows. He's not concerned with just what? One little spot. Mm-hmm. He's not just concerned with Greece.
Right.
He's not just concerned with this area. Mm-hmm. Palestine. He's just not, you know, he's over the whole world.
Yeah.
This is the God over the whole world that should be worshipped by the whole world.
Yeah.
The whole world. You see? Okay, so then it says, verse 27, that they should seek God, talking about all the men, all of mankind, they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. He's close by. Seek him. And it should be easy to find him because it's not very far. Then he quotes, he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we are indeed his offspring." Now, what poet said that? I don't know. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm sorry. All I know is what Paul said here. But Paul apparently knew enough about Greek. He's read some of their poetry, whatever. And he says, you know, of course, Paul was very educated, right? So he's quoting these guys. And one of these guys said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Well, that certainly sounds like God, doesn't it? And another one is, "For we are indeed his offspring." Okay? Adam, the son of God, right? We got that in our New Testament, right? So yeah, this is good. He's clicking on all cylinders. He's got their attention. He's clicking on all cylinders. So let's go on and see how it goes. "Being then, since we are God's offspring," right? "We ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man." Well, now, if we're his offspring, we're made in his image. I'm not made of gold. Thurston's not made out of silver. Mary's not made out of stone. Why would I think that God ought to be made out of silver or gold or stone? And yet, all these idols were laying all around the city. See? He said, "That doesn't make any sense, guys. You guys are the great thinkers, the great logical thinkers. Why did you come up with this kind of reasoning? It doesn't make any sense. You guys are really off in your logic." Right? These guys were the great logic thinkers. They reasoned to this and they reasoned it. And he's saying, "Look, you're not made out of gold. You're not made out of silver. You're not made out of stone. Why would you think God is?" Right? "Your own poet said we are indeed his offspring." So how did you come up with this kind of conclusion? Your reasoning is faulty. You don't know the truth. I'm bringing you the truth. Verse 30. "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Repent. To do what? What does repent mean? Repent means to change your thinking. A lot of people say, thanks, you know, and this is the way it's used today. Repent means to feel sorry for your sin. All right? He said, "Look, repent means to change your thinking." All right? Change your thinking. Instead of thinking that sin is a good thing, start thinking if it's a bad thing. All right? Instead of following God is a bad thing, start thinking that following God is a good thing. Amen. Change your thinking. All right? He's talking to the great thinkers of the day, right? And he says, God is calling you to change your thinking. Your faulty reasoning is, it's not good. You can't even get the simplest little reasoning here about what God looks like. If you can't get that, guys, you need to change your thinking. Your thinking's all wrong. Oh, this is good. It's a lot better than I've planned it to be. Okay. All right. So verse 31, he says, "Because he has fixed a day on which he was." Of course, now, right now, Paul hasn't really done anything earth-shattering, okay? All this is just very logical stuff, okay? Very, just going right along here. But now it's time to what? Throw a monkey wrench into the works, okay? Here we go. All right. It says, Paul says, "Because he's talking about God, has fixed a day on which he, God, will judge the world in righteousness, doing things correctly the way God wants them done, by a man whom he has appointed, And of this, he has given assurance to all. In other words, he's proven that this is the guy by whom he's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Yeah.
This is the guy who's going to judge it. How do we know this is the guy? How do we know this is a man that we need to listen to? This is how we know. By raising him from the dead.
That's right.
By raising him from... Paul hasn't said anything about the crucifixion. Right? He hasn't said anything about the crucifixion. He hasn't said anything about the Jews. Hasn't even given the name of Jesus. He says, but this is the man that God is going to use to judge the world according to righteousness. And you can be sure that this is the guy, this is the proof that God has given. He raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. That's a new thing. They want to hear something new. This is a new thing. Now, this is in verse 32. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Now, what are they doing? They heard everything that he said, and they couldn't argue with it. But when they heard the resurrection of the dead, they thought about their own experience and their own knowledge, right? And they judged, nobody's been resurrected from the dead. I've never heard of it. I've never seen it. This guy must be off his rocker. Why? Because they were judging what he said by their own experience and their own reasoning. Right? Well, Paul had just shown them that their reasoning's faulty. And yet this is what they keep doing. You see? They go back to their own reasoning and their own knowledge, their own experience. And they say, you can't be right. You can't be right. And Paul said, I just showed you that your reasoning is wrong. You need to change your reasoning. I'm trying to bring this to you, right? So, let's read on here. Some mocked, but others said, we will hear you about this again. We will hear again about this from you, okay?
They seem one over.
Come back another time, you know. This is something we can chew on a little bit, right? This is, So Paul went out of their midst. He left them at that point. And in verse 34 it says, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Now this is kind of key because up on the hill they're mainly just men, right? And the first one mentioned here is this Dionysius. And it says he was an Areopagite. Well, that means he was one of the guys on Mars Hill. He was one of the leaders. Okay? He was one of the leaders of the whole thing up there. All right? He went up to Mars Hill every day. He was one of the main, you know, debaters, arguers, whatever, philosophers, whatever you want to call them. He's one of the main ones. And Paul won him over. Paul won him over. Now, don't get